Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during September evenings. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment. Just find a clear view of the sky and bring your curiosity. As darkness falls after sunset, the only bright planet in the evening sky is Saturn, but that's a little misleading because honestly, it'll be hard to spot. To have any chance at all, you'll need an absolutely unobstructed view toward west, a crystal clear sky without any haze, and you'll need to go out early in the month. Are you up for that challenge? Okay, try looking very low in the west, less than the width of your fist held at arm's length, about 45 minutes after sunset. In a dark sky, Saturn would be bright and obvious, but here it's just a tiny, barely perceptible dot. And don't be surprised if you can't pick it out at all in the evening twilight. If you listen to these podcasts on a regular basis, you've noticed that I haven't said very much recently about Venus. So where the heck is it? Well, it's in transition, moving from the morning sky to the evening sky. Right now, it's hopelessly lost in the sun's glare. But after that, Venus will be spending several months climbing higher in the evening twilight. By late December, it'll be high enough after sunset to really impress you, so just give it time. Seasonally speaking, September is a time of transition. Sunset comes earlier and earlier, by 7:30 p.m. most everywhere. Another thing that's winding down is summer itself here in the Northern Hemisphere. The equinox is on the 23rd at 5:05 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. At that moment, the sun will be directly overhead as seen from the equator and heading south in the sky. You can impress your friends with this nifty factoid about the equinox. On that day, no matter where you live, the sun rises due east and sets due west. Summer might be ending astronomically, but temperature-wise, we still have some warm days ahead of us, and most of the summer's stars can still be seen as well. Topping the list is the trio of bright stars collectively called the Summer Triangle. Finding them is easy, even if your backyard is hopelessly awash with light pollution. Lift up your gaze, way up, to find a bright star that's almost directly overhead. That's Vega. It's in the constellation Lyra, the Lyre, and it's relatively close by as stars go, just 25 light years away. Astronomers gauge a star's brightness by a number called its magnitude, and Vega is an important star in this scheme. Some 2,100 years ago, an ancient Greek astronomer named Hipparchus decided to create a method for organizing stars according to their brightness. He called the most luminous ones stars of the first magnitude, and fainter ones were ranked second, third, fourth, and fifth. The ones that were sixth marked the limit of visibility with the eye. Hipparchus picked Vega as his anchor star. Modern astronomers have assigned Vega the magnitude of 0.00. Now, it turns out the four other nighttime stars are brighter than Vega, and one of them is in the evening sky during September. I'll reveal its identity a little later, but look around yourself now to see if you can figure out which one it is. If you're looking up at Vega, you should also be seeing the other two corners of the summer triangle. One is to Vega's south, by about three times the width of your fist. That star is called Altair, and it's the main star in the constellation of Aquila, the eagle. The third star is about two fists from Vega, toward east. That star is called Deneb, a westernized version of the Arabic phrase for hen's tail. Deneb does mark the tail of a bird, but it's a graceful swan, the constellation Cygnus. The swan's head, a star named Albireo, is about midway between Vega and Altair. And in between Deneb and Albireo is a row of three stars that mark the swan's body and wings. If you're able to get away from the city lights and out under a really dark moonless sky, you'll see that the swan is gliding right down the middle of the Milky Way's softly glowing river of starlight. Here's another factoid for you. Deneb is roughly 100 times farther away than Vega. But you can see that it's still quite bright, so why is that? It's because Deneb pumps out at least 100,000 times more light than our sun does. It's a real powerhouse of a star. So that's the summer triangle. As the weeks go by, this easy-to-spot trio will gradually migrate westward in the sky. It'll stay with us for a few more months before sinking out of sight in the west. This month we're going to spend some time exploring the southern sky. So let's return to Altair, which is easy to spot and roughly midway from overhead down to the southern horizon. If you keep lowering your gaze, you might still be able to spot a collection of stars known as the teapot. It's about the size of your fist. Four stars define the pot itself. A couple more make a handle toward upper left. Another star toward upper right is the top of its pointy lid, and the spout is at lower right. Look about one fist to the upper left of Altair and try to spot a tight grouping of medium bright stars that might remind you of a small kite with a tail hanging from it. This is Delphinus, a little dolphin leaping upward out of the starry sea. It's my wife's favorite constellation. Now look below Delphinus along the horizon, to the left of the teapot. Depending on how much light pollution you have, you'll either see a few dim stars or maybe none at all. This is the realm of Capricornus, the sea goat. To its upper left is another dim, nondescript constellation, Aquarius, the water carrier. There's really not much going on here, but I've highlighted these two because they're part of the 12 constellations of the zodiac, the ones that lie along the sun's path among the stars. In 6 months, this is the celestial real estate that the sun will be crossing. You can see that Capricornus and Aquarius aren't very high in the sky, right? Well, neither will the sun when it's passing this way in February. Okay, time's up. Have you found that star that's brighter than Vega? Well, if you look west, well to the upper left of where the sun set, there's a star that looks just about as bright. That's Arcturus, and technically it does outshine Vega, but only by about 7%. Actually, Vega probably looks like the brighter of the two because it's overhead where there's the least haze, and also because Arcturus is slightly reddish. Now, if you're a bit of a night owl, you'll be rewarded with a view of Jupiter over in the east. In early September, the giant planet doesn't rise until about 10 p.m., but by month's end, it pops into view just as twilight ends. Give it a few hours to rise higher up, and it'll be a dazzling beacon. Right now, Jupiter is camping out in yet another dim zodiacal constellation, Aries the Ram. This month, I'd hoped that you could see a decently bright comet passing in Earth's vicinity. Comet Eljenin was discovered last December, and on September 10th, it'll be only 45 million miles from the sun. Sadly, though, in late August, Comet Eljenin started getting dimmer, and worse, telescopic images showed that its icy nucleus had either broken in two or disintegrated altogether. Too bad. Maybe next time. Now, for more information on all kinds of stargazing, head to skyandtelescope.com. Next month, we'll spend a little more time with the Lyre, Eagle, and Swan, and explore the myths and legends surrounding them. Until then, I wish you clear skies.